What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. And today is our favorite day. It's Twitter Tuesday.
We're live streaming out the abandoned office for you guys.
Yeah, we're in the abandoned office that we normally record the pod in, not our usual Twitter Tuesday studio, but come through anyways.
It looks like a grow-off.
It does. That's at Locked On Clips. We go live every single Tuesday, so be sure to check it out.
And if
you can't, leave your questions, comments, scathing reviews on Twitter at Locked On Clips anytime during the week.
Or at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. We're checking that constantly.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be taking questions and comments throughout the pod all day long. We're going to kick things off with some playoff matchup. So we'll be doing all that and then devoting the final segment to just shooting the breeze, taking your guys' questions and comments. And let's get to it.
So as it stands of 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the Blazers are the third seed and the Rockets are the fourth.
Yeah.
Same record. Blazers have the tiebreaker.
Which surprises me.
I really had no idea that was a thing. So we're going to break down just those matchups. Great quote from Mark J. Spears, about the Clippers in the playoffs. He said, "They're that team you don't want to play, man. They're that dog walking down the street in a bad neighborhood that hasn't eaten. They've got nothing to lose and a chip on their shoulder." I think that's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
I don't know why he had to add the part about a bad neighborhood, but I like the quote.
Is this everybody's ideal first-round matchup? Like us
the Blazers?
Playing the Blazers?
Personally, it would not be any better, I don't think.
And we're seeing this as us playing the Blazers at the 3 and the 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
yeah, that's
a lot
fair.
Of people on the stream saying we can beat Portland. Someone saying Shea's going to go off if they play the Blazers.
He's had some really great games against the Blazers.
Definitely. A lot of yeses so far.
Yeah. I think this is like by far the most liked matchup out of any of these. I think the Rockets, though, are going to end up taking the 3. They're going to do whatever it takes because they don't want to face Golden State until the Western Conference Finals.
Very last second.
So just some quick team stats for these teams. This is all post All-Star break since they're kind of different teams. This doesn't account for Nurkic being out, but in points per game, we're both really similar. They're 118, we're 117.6, which is good which is good for third and fourth in the league. We're both scoring really well. They are averaging about 2 more rebounds a game than us.
Negligible.
They're fifth. And we're 10th, but I actually expect this number to dip without Nurkic being in there.
Definitely.
That's going to hurt their rebounding quite a bit. So in terms of net rating, we're pretty similar. We're both in
Man,
we're they're
we
fifth.
Tight with this team.
Yeah, they're fifth and we're sixth in the league. So their net rating is they're outscoring opponents by about 6.7 points per game. And we're outscoring them by about 5.1 points. So they have a little bit better of a point differential. Once again, without Nurkic's defense, these numbers are going to slip.
Someone just put on the live stream, they said they feel like Lillard always does well against us. That's true. One of those guys usually goes off against us, but I think that's because they have the two guys there usually.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody is saying that Enes Kanter could produce similar numbers in terms of rebounds and offense as Nurkic.
Not for a whole series.
I do believe that. I think, though, that the lack of offense, he's literally, like, just in terms of plus-minus, the worst defender at the center, like one of the worst defenders. I just don't think his upside offensively is high enough to offset that.
Not even close. Someone just asked where we are at, LOL. We're in the abandoned part of our office where we usually record. We couldn't do the studio today.
What are the differentials like since the trades? This is all post-trade deadline. So post-trade deadline, they have a net rating. They're plus 6.7 per game, and we are plus 5.1. But these numbers are so close. Like, they're ranked fifth in the league post-All-Star break, and we're sixth. So right up there.
It's way tighter than I thought it was going to be, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
Not that I didn't think they were bad. I just thought we've been playing so well that
the biggest thing that surprised me is our offense is rated at 113.5 points per game, which is eighth in the league. I was just really surprised. Do we know when CJ gets back for the Blazers? As of the time of recording this podcast, which is what, about
107 Pacific Standard Time,
I could not find anything.
Yeah.
It seems like they're expecting him to be back. I don't have like an exact timetable or anything.
With
like
how
that.
Injuries have been in the NBA this year, we're not going to know he's back until he's shooting a field goal in regulation, I feel like.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell anything.
So in terms of these lineups, like just as a whole, the Portland starters, which are Damian Lillard, we're assuming CJ McCollum, Maurice Harkless, and Al-Farouq Aminu. I couldn't find a big enough sample size to do this with Cantor in the starting lineup. So this is just based on a four-man lineup.
That's going to be an issue with the Rockets, too, because we caught the Rockets. We played two of our three games against the Rockets immediately as the season started. We missed Chris Paul and James Harden, and there's no sample size for Nurk and for Zubats going against Capella.
Yeah, but we'll unpack all of that in the next segment. Let's just stick to the Blazers, man. So that starting lineup is averaging 20.3 minutes a game, which is actually going to be more than any other starting lineup in terms of minutes in any of these two matchups.
No bench.
And in that 20.3 minutes, that four-man lineup of Dame, CJ, Harkless, and Aminu is averaging 49 points, 21 boards, and 11 assists, which is really, really solid.
That's damn good.
They're shooting about 48% from the field, and they have a net rating of plus 3.4, and that's per games, not per 100 possessions.
Yeah.
And then our starters, opposed to that, our regular starting lineup being Shea, Bev, Shamit, Gallo, and Zoo. I'm sure you guys already know that, but just for posterity,
you never know,
we're going to list the players.
People are going crazy.
And that starting lineup averages about 13.8 minutes, which are you surprised by that, Mark?
We kind of talked a little bit about it yesterday, about how little the starters play. I knew they didn't play a bunch together. I didn't know they averaged barely over a quarter together.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. But again, I think that lends itself so well. Players have so many injuries, our bench is going to come up so huge.
Definitely.
I mean, it has to, literally, but...
And I also think, like, this is, like, a pretty rigorous definition of the starters. So, like, you know, if somebody else is in this lineup, like, if they pop in Lou or something, then those numbers aren't accounting for this lineup.
There was a great point just made on the live stream. I'm sorry, I can't see your username. But they said, our bench should be able to crush the Blazers' bench unless they stagger CJ and Dame.
Okay, so somebody is bringing up thoughts on Garrett Temple starting over Shamit if we play Portland. And I actually want to bring this up.
Tasty.
I want to bring this up because in my mind, or like just from watching the game, I want to say no. But if we look at these, like if we look at this by the numbers, so that our regular starting unit averages 31 points, 12 boards, and 7 assists, right? And their net differential is plus 2.0, or their plus minus is plus 2.1 per game.
But
this was super weird to me. If you toss Temple into Shamit's place, that number jumps from plus 2.1 to plus 12.
Damn. That's a big-ass difference. That is not a negligible difference.
Which is insane to me. And I agree, Temple should come off the bench. But in a matchup, I like the defense of Temple being able to help on either one of those guards if Beverly or Shea is unable to contain them.
And Doc has kind of shown a tendency this year to really favor those matchups.
Yeah.
He's been a lot more tinkery this year. I don't think that's going to change in the playoffs. He's mentioned in his pressers, both the last couple games we've been to, everyone's getting a run on these playoffs.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a bunch of, not goofy lineups, but things like that where you don't notice that the stat jumps, what, plus 9 or whatever the hell that was?
Yeah,
like,
plus 10.
Yeah, plus 10.
These numbers can obviously be skewed, especially because... You know, when people were out and Temple was starting, you know, if you play lesser opponents and stuff, obviously the plus minus can be misleading.
Mm-hmm.
But all signs point to some of Temple's defense being able to outweigh some of his offensive kind of deficiencies.
And he's been on the rise lately.
Yeah.
Both him and Chandler, or all three of him, Chandler, and Green have been trending upwards. So at this point, if Doc likes some matchup and we see a name, even Green, in the starting lineup, I'm not saying it would because they had to start for Gallo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if we see heavy minutes from those guys, I don't think anyone should be too concerned about the tinkering.
No.
I think it all seems to make sense, especially with how, I mean, that 13-minute number for our starters is crazy.
Yeah. What I think is probably going to happen is the starting lineup, Sham is going to be in the starting lineup, and he will be the first guy subbed out if defensively he's unable to hang.
Who's going
to
check Chandler for Portland? Ooh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
If he's hitting well, I think he's going to be hard to check, but he's kind of boom or bust, it seems like, lately with the shooting.
That's like a perfect transition into these other lineups that we can't forget about. Portland reserves versus the Clippers reserves.
Yeah.
So
ours are better, long story short.
Long story short, they're better. So for reserves, you got former Clipper great or future Clipper great Seth Curry. You got Jake Lyman, Jake Layman, Evan Turner, Myers Leonard, and I'm assuming Zach Collins will be coming and will be the first man to come back on the five.
Yeah.
So they average about 10.3 minutes together, which I was surprised. It seems like a lot of minutes. Portland has more depth than I always give them credit
for.
They
have like sneaky depth.
Yeah. And in that 10.3 minutes, the Portland reserves are averaging 32 points, 6 boards, and 9 assists. I think that 9 assist number is the biggest thing that jumped out at me. Like, the ball moves pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for the X Factor Myers? Dude, Myers Leonard, Evan Turner can have weird games where he goes off, too.
Yeah.
So in that lineup, listen to this, just listen to this, this shooting split. They shoot 75% from the field.
That's helped by Seth Curry's unconsciousness from beyond the arc too.
Oh yeah. But given that, so out of 16 field goal attempts, only 7 of them are from 3. So they're taking more than half of those shots around the rim in the paint. Which I think matches up well against our second unit.
Yeah.
I know interior defense has been a problem.
Someone's mentioning Josh Smith on the stream. Don't talk about Josh Smith on this stream. We can't deal with that right now.
But yeah, so they have a plus minus of plus +1, that bench. Whereas our bench has a plus minus of plus +5.
A little better.
When we start, and this is like... This is the full reserve lineup. This lineup doesn't really get that much playing time generally altogether.
We saw the most of it against that, wasn't the Cavs game, it was the
Grizzlies game.
The Grizzlies game, yeah.
Yeah, so that like fully reserves lineup would be Lou Will, obviously, Garrett Temple at the 2, and then Jamichael Green at the 4, Wilson Chandler at the 3, and Harrell at the 5.
Kind of like the same size guys.
Kind of the same size guys. So like Green, you can flip-flop Green and Chandler, however you want to call them, however you want to play them. But that unit has only been averaging about 7.5 minutes. But in that 7.5 minutes, they're pretty efficient, scoring 22 points with 7 boards and 3 assists. And as I said, they're 53.6% from the field and plus +5. Like...
If someone just commented on the stream, it's a crazy bench lineup. It absolutely is. It's a really good bench lineup.
It's a really, really solid bench lineup. And especially if Chandler is shooting well, if he has more make games than miss games. I mean, it's a really super dangerous bench. So overall...
Plus the staggering that we can see take place too.
Yeah. So in terms of plus minus per game, their starters are about plus 1.3 on ours, but our bench is plus +4 on theirs, which is going to cover up any sort of like lead that their starters can really put on us.
And that's going to be a trend you guys are going to see in these matchups, is our bench absolutely crushing their bench.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can
unless you're surprised by that.
Yeah, no shit. Someone said, do you think we are a lock for the 6th seed? It kind of feels like it right now. I'm not really sure.
I honestly hope, and this is my own opinion, I hope that we go for the 6th seed instead of the 5th. That way, if we get out of there, we don't have to see the Warriors until the Western Conference Finals.
Which, of course, is going to happen. Keep letting us know your thoughts. Next segment, we're going to be breaking down the Rockets matchups.
Oh, yeah.
But before that, I want to give you guys a quick reminder. This Sunday, huge game against the Warriors.
Oh, yeah. April 7th.
April 7th, 5:30 p.m. Come through to Tom's Urban LA Live. We're going to be hosting a watch party. There's going to be lobster mac and cheese flowing from a fountain, I'm pretty sure. Something like that.
Everybody should be there.
Everyone should come through. All right. Now we got the Rockets matchups.
Oh, yeah.
Which we asked people on the live stream before we started if they wanted to play the Blazers more. Overwhelmingly, the Blazers. Not a lot of people want to see the Rockets.
Which kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
I just think given the Rockets, injury stuff, and, you know, they have a bit of a reputation for choking.
I mean, based on last year.
In the postseason. I'm less worried. I mean, no, I'm worried about this matchup.
I'm worried about it, too, especially, so it's kind of weird. Tomorrow is going to be the first. We played these guys twice already. But we played them early in the year. We missed CP3 once. We missed Harden once. This is the first time we're going to see them at full strength this year.
Oh, and just a side note, mm-hmm. If we end up playing with these guys, I think in terms of narrative, this is the best game. Somebody mentioned that
for sure.
Lou and Trez would go off against their former team.
Beverly.
And Beverly, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it'd be a fun time. So I was trying to dig up some matchups between Zubats and Capella because that's going to be a pretty deep... I mean, it's going to be a pretty pivotal matchup in the series if we end up playing these guys. but you can't really find any.
Yeah.
Zubats was like out on the, like they didn't really, they weren't playing him when they played, when the Lakers played the Rockets. Capella was hurt for a bunch. So the only real numbers I found was during the Rockets, when they beat the Lakers in January, Zubats had 17-5 on 4-of-6 shooting and 9-of-9 free throws. He also somehow fouled out coming off the bench. I don't know how that happened. He was guarded by Nene for 39% of those possessions.
Oh, that's a good match. I like that matchup.
Love that matchup. He went 1-for-2 against Nene. And then this is kind of the thing that we were talking about earlier. The second most guarded by him was Harden with 36%.
Yeah. So
he went 2-of-2 against Harden.
They like to use Harden in the post on defense so he can kind of conserve energy, and he has just become like a pretty solid post defender. Mm-hmm. However, I think with someone who has a little bit more range, and I'm not talking out to the arc range, but a little bit more range, somebody like Zoo who can kind of toss in some hooks.
Baseline jumpers.
And stuff like that. I think that that's a worse matchup for him because as he calls for help, Zoo can just kind of toss the ball in.
Yeah. My idea with that too is that I totally understand conserving his energy against bigger guys who don't have range and stuff like that, so he doesn't have to run around. But I mean, Harden is a strong and a pretty, I mean,
he's a stout dude.
Yeah. But still, going against Zubac and Trez, if you're just getting a shoulder to the chest every single time, like if we're really focusing on that matchup,
yeah,
I think in the long term, maybe not, maybe, you know, maybe they beat us in the first round,
yeah,
probably, but long term, that's just not good.
I just think that I still think that it's not a good matchup for either of our guys. They read scouting reports really, really well, especially on centers. Neither, like, James Harden isn't going to bite on a Trez pump fake.
No. We talked about this at the game. I don't understand how every single person, anytime Trez does a pump fake under the basket, jumps.
Yeah.
He always does pump fake and then jam. It works, but only because people bite on it.
Yeah, so I don't think that Harden would bite on that. And then also, you got to remember that, like, Capella's going to be right there as the help defender. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't think it's actually that favorable of a matchup. I worry that in a lineup like this, they're going to do their best to kind of to neutralize Trez and make Lou Will work that much harder. But in terms of just like stats, looking at these lineups, their starting lineup of Harden, Paul, Gordon, Tucker, and Capella is they average per game 34-11-6. Pretty solid numbers. 49% field goal percentage, which I was surprised by. And that starting lineup is +6 in terms of plus minus. And just to reiterate, our starters are +2.1. And we're only like we actually like they score 3 more points than our starting lineup, but we like out rebound them and out assist them.
I was surprised that they only play 14. They average 14 minutes together.
Yeah. So here's the thing about the Rockets that's kind of tricky. Depth not great across the board, but because of the high level talent, there is not a single lineup where one of the starters isn't playing.
Yeah.
There will not be a time that we play this team that one of Harden or one of Chris Paul will not be on the floor.
Yeah, they're gonna stagger. They have to. I think they still run like a 12-man rotation or something.
Yeah.
Insane, which they've been running for like months.
Yeah, it's small. I mean, like it's a small rotation.
Let's get to the bench because I think that's gonna be.
So
giant.
Their bench, you're gonna notice some familiar names on here because Chris Paul will be in both of these lineups. So that Rockets bench that gets the most playing time at about 7.5 minutes per game is Rivers, Paul, Shumpert, Daniel House, and Kenneth Faried at the 5.
Someone just commented, "I hope they don't play Austin against us." Well,
Austin will play against us. It'll probably be Austin and Paul in some sort of backcourt bench combination. Mm-hmm. And that lineup that I just mentioned, it averages 15 points, 11 assists, 11 boards, and 4 assists. Interesting side note, they only finish, like, their field goal percentage is 38%, which is not great.
That's bad.
And they're 20% from 3 with that lineup.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And that's incredibly bad.
That lineup of Rivers, Paul, Shumpert, House, and Faried is +2 in terms of plus minus, and our regular bench with all reserves is +5, as I said. And they outscore them. The Rockets do a better that Rockets reserve unit does a better job rebounding, and they move the ball marginally more, averaging one more assist per game.
Yeah, I think our bench is going to come alive for this one, mostly because of what you just said in terms of the revenge factor.
Oh, yeah,
I think
yeah,
they're going to
be
fired up if we get these guys. Harden versus Beverly is going to be huge. That's a matchup that we didn't get really the privilege to see in those first two games.
No.
In the game way back in October, we had Avery Bradley guarding James Harden. He went 5 for 6. But when he was guarded by Shea, which was 22% of the possessions, he went 2 of 6. And this was the first game when people started to kind of realize Shea's defensive potential.
It was
kind of the talk of like how good he was. He was being patient. And since then, he's only gotten better at defense.
Someone is saying they hope Shea develops a post game.
He's too skinny.
He's pretty skinny, and I would just we just have other guys who are better used in the post, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Gallo.
Now that you've dove in into these stats, do you feel less worried about, because I was really worried about this, but now that I see those bench stats, I'm a little less worried about this matchup.
Honestly, our bench is averaging in terms of plus minus +3 on either one of these teams. And that, I mean, the only one that doesn't cover for would be the Rockets starters versus ours.
Yeah.
And
we're going to have to assume that we're going to lose the starting minutes.
Yeah. I mean, for sure.
Not by a bunch.
Against
hopefully.
Either one of these teams. So in the Rockets one, I mean, it's definitely a harder matchup. We don't have an aggregate better plus minus. Obviously, their top tier talent is really, really good.
Yeah.
Posting Shea up against smaller guards is a win if he has a post game. I mean, I think he could do that now.
His mid-range game is already so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be – I'm really excited for the game tomorrow, which we're going to be at with the credentials, which will be sweet, because it's just going to be the first time we get to see both of these teams exactly what we're going to see in the playoffs.
100%.
They're going to see – I mean, Doc's mentioned it. We've mentioned it. We're not – there's no preference to the lineup. We're not running a 12-guy lineup. We're running a 15-guy lineup.
Yeah.
We might see some Delgado. No, we're probably not going to see that.
And I think the thing that's going to be an issue for them is, like, the three-point shooting of our bench is significantly better than theirs.
Yeah. Can go cold, but I don't think that'll happen.
Can go cold, but I wouldn't plan on that happening every game over a seven-game stretch.
God, I hope not. Yeah, that's kind of. We'll take some questions after this break about Rockets, about Blazers, whatever you guys want to hear.
Anything in playoffs, anything, just throw it out there.
Life, if you guys are going through troubles, get at us. But Will, quick question: do you have anything to record the inside of your apartment while you're at work?
No. Should I?
You absolutely should. People could be messing with your stuff as we speak.
That's terrifying.
You need to check out Wyze. That's WYZE. It's the indoor camera that does it all. It's packed with premium features. You stream everything from anywhere for only $20, 1080p, full HD, night vision, two-way audio, so you can hear those people saying mean things about you as they rearrange your stuff. There's a live stream with 8x digital zoom. 14 days of free cloud storage is the big part. You can stock up 14 days of footage of you. You can watch that footage while you're at work of you not being at home. It's perfect. For just $10 more, you get the Wyze Cam Pan, which gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds.
See everything.
You got a 93-degree vertical range. You can see those tall people who are messing with your stuff. You can see the short people who are messing with your stuff. Wyze Cam Pan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been so easy.
Cool.
Head over to wyze.com/lockedon for a special offer. So welcome to Twitter Tuesdays. Thank you for dealing with that live ad as you watch us do it.
Somebody said, I got into an argument with Blazers fans thinking they can sweep us easy. That's absurd.
First of all, I don't think anyone's sweeping anyone easy at all in the Western Conference. Even the 1-8 seed, I think that's not going to happen.
I actually think the team, and I know that I've been harping on this all season, I think the team that if there's one team that might get upset swept, it's Denver Nuggets.
Dude, people have been saying that a bunch on Twitter. Someone was saying that it's going to be a waste of national TV. I don't know if that's true.
Oh, yeah. going against the Spurs, I don't know, man. I think Pop is going to throw the book at him.
Pop's going to throw the book at him. I can't imagine having to play chip on the shoulder Russell Westbrook low seed Thunder team.
Oh, yeah. If they end up.
That's going to be incredible. Yeah. No, I don't think the Clippers are getting swept. I think we have. I'm pretty high on hope, so I think we have an okay chance of getting out of the first round.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not a fighting chance. I think it's better than a fighting chance or something like that.
I mean, it's obviously better if the Trailblazers end up taking the 3 seed.
Absolutely.
Which I think would be, I mean, I don't know. It'd be ideal for us.
It'd be fantastic for us.
But somebody pointed out on the live stream, which was a good point, that they like the matchup against the Rockets because Doc knows CP3 well, and they have so many players from the Rockets that are kind of familiar with their game.
Yeah.
Which is a good point. A
lot of familiarity.
And I don't know. I like that coaching matchup, too.
Which one?
Versus Doc.
Man, that'd be... Whew.
I'd give Doc the edge in that.
I would give Doc the edge, too, just based purely on momentum.
Yeah.
I mean, D'Antoni's done a great job with, I mean, the 12 people they have playing basketball for him.
For sure.
And Austin Rivers has been huge. It's just, yeah, that's going to be a good matchup. That's going to be a really good matchup. Low-key, we could make the conference finals if we don't play the Warriors. I mean, that'd be
That's tight. What I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I hope that we, I kind of hope that we stay at the 6th seed. It'll obviously be a hard fight, harder fight in the first round.
Yeah.
But after that, we don't have to face the Warriors unless we make it to the conference finals.
It's going
to
be, I mean, it's pretty incredible how these last 2 games have such an emphasis on what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We're going away to the Warriors on Sunday. Come on out to Times River to watch that game if you want. And then we have the Jazz on Wednesday. So I'm happy we get the rest.
Yeah.
Between us and the Jazz and stuff like that. Still just, I don't want to end the season on this tense of games, I guess.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you guys think that do you think that the Nuggets will take the 1 spot from the Warriors? Does anybody think that?
Ooh, I'm going to look up their strength of schedule real quick.
The Nuggets have a much harder schedule.
Really? I mean, that makes sense.
They play, they play the Trailblazers twice. They play, I don't know, they play some other fools. Do you think we get to 50-32?
No way.
Man.
I mean, I want to. I just don't think we can.
Yeah.
That's some hard game. So we're going to play the Lakers on Friday, who are going to try and ruin our whole season just through beating us once. We're going to play, the Rockets. It's really damn hard. Like, we got to win 3 of the next 4 against the Rockets, Lakers, Warriors, Jazz.
Oh, and somebody pointed out the Warriors have the tiebreaker if they were to catch them in the standings.
But getting 3 out of those 4 wins at any point in the season is difficult. And with everything still to kind of play for 3 of those 4 teams,
yeah,
it's going to be pretty amped up.
I don't know. 3 out of 4 would be...
It'd be awesome.
Really
It'd be
crazy.
So great. Yeah. I just don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Sorry, looking at strength of schedule. Yeah, Denver's got the 4th hardest schedule. We have the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Portland at 10th. Man. San Antonio at 27th. That's kind of tough. Golden State at 22. So they have a pretty easy schedule. Their next 2 hardest games are against the Nuggets and us. And then they play the Cavs, Grizzlies, Pelicans, Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Lakers are going to be in full we're annoying mode and make it difficult for guys at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, not like they're going to win or anything like that.
Not guys like us, though.
Wasn't Blake supposed to be in Space Jam 2? Very good question. He should be in Space Jam 2.
Yeah.
What's going to happen in Space Jam 2? Is it just going to be Space Jam 1 again?
Any chance Spurs catch us, they have a really easy schedule.
Yeah. We're, 2.5 games up?
Yeah,
Ooh, 2.5 games. We only have 4 left. I don't know.
I don't know. I would be really surprised if we went any lower than 6.
Yeah. I think that seems to be where we're going to end up at.
Yeah.
There's 2.5 games. Jazz got the tiebreaker. Unless something really bad happens with the Blazers, I guess.
Yeah.
It just seems like 6.
Someone is saying on the live stream, even if we lose out in the first round, as long as the games are close, it's still a win for us in terms of free agents.
Oh, whole season's been a win at this point.
Yeah.
Whole season's been a win at this
Agreed.
Point. That's what's wonderful. Yeah, just cautionary to Clippers fans. The season's already a success.
Yeah.
We don't need to be mad at these guys who don't make it out in the first round.
Oh, yeah. Not at all.
Guys, that about wraps it up for the episode recording. We're going to hang out for a little bit on the live stream after this. Thank you for listening. If you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, check out Locked On Net. They just added Locked On MLB. The Dodgers one is fantastic. I was at the game yesterday. They lost because of that nerd Joe Kelly. Rate, subscribe, review us on anything you're reviewing us on. Head out to Tom's Urban on this Sunday, actually, April 7th. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.